Not in order to cancel the... Not in order to suspend the rules, though. That's what I was going on. I don't know what I'm going to say.
So we can't pass it.
Yeah, if you have everyone say yes.
Yeah, say all good.
Oh, yes, okay, gotcha.
Is that an emergency?
No, but the sooner they approve it, the sooner...
Yeah, what is it? I mean, it's an emergency.
Right, but I'm not... They don't have to pass it until they give us whatever to work.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the March 6th meeting of Orrville City Council. This evening, we'll be led in prayer by Pastor Araldo Nunez from Salem Mennonite Church. If you would stand, please.
Heavenly Father, we come here tonight with Thanksgiving. Thank you for the city. Thank you for this man and woman that are in here to discuss the business of the city of Orrville. I just ask that you open the hearts and minds that they can discuss and do what's better for the city. And I ask for everyone that lives here that you keep them safe and be with them tonight and always. Everything I pray and I ask in the name of our son Jesus, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Have roll call, please.
Shue?
Here.
Wilson?
Here.
Vance?
Absent.
Hampshire?
Present.
Asparis?
Here.
Korfman?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Everyone should have received a copy of our minutes of the February 21st meeting. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to those minutes? Yes, sir.
Since Paul's not here, I move we accept those minutes as documented.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Okay, second, Mr. Hampshire.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shue?
Abstain.
Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening. We'll move to our standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Asparis.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's a few items on the agenda tonight concerning finance that I'm sure Ms. Strumlin will address. In addition to the 2017 final appropriations booklets that were passed out this evening. Other than that, that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Utilities, Mr. Korfman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities has no report.
Thank you. Mr. Vance isn't here. We'll move to Parks and Recreation. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report to this.
Thank you. Transportation. Mr. Shue.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have no report.
Thank you. Planning. Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Nothing here either, sir.
Thank you. Ordinance and Personnel. Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. No report from Ordinance and Personnel this evening.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Handwood.
Thank you, Mr. President. A few items here tonight. First of all, Dan Landis is our March Employee of the Month. He's from the Distribution Department, and he works as an A line worker. He started at the power plant October 3rd, 1994, as a journeyman line worker, having served his apprenticeship at Duke Power. And Dan operates truck 49 and has performed his job duties throughout the years with great attitude and a willingness to help the younger employees along. His interests outside of work include a lot of history, as he is somewhat of a Civil War buff. He also enjoys aircrafts and aircraft museums, along with watching various sports, including the Buckeyes, yay, and Cleveland teams. Dan resides in Chippewa Township. And also, just a little update. Last week, Mr. Brettinger and I attended the AMP and APPA legislative rally in Washington. We had a little bit of everything from the beginning, weather-wise, temperatures in the 40s to 50s the first day, all the way to 75 by the third day. So it was very strange. And that day it was 75. It was 75 during the day. By 5 o'clock, it was pouring down rain and high winds, and we were sitting in the airport hoping we were going to get out. And we had a two-hour delay and finally did get out, but we had all kinds of weather. While we were there, we also saw the very normal busy traffic in D.C. all the way to the extremely congested traffic. We had our meeting with Congressman Renacci at 4:30 the afternoon of the day that President Trump addressed Congress. And so by 3 on, the whole area was a complete lockdown almost, as far as taxis quit running, barriers everywhere, tons and tons of security and police dogs and you name it. So it was quite interesting to see what all went on just because of that event that evening at 9 o'clock with the President addressing Congress. Our meetings with Senator Portman and Senator Brown and Congressman Renacci were all positive from our public power standpoint. They get our concerns and they understand what our concerns are. That just doesn't always mean that we're going to get results that we're hoping for. In fact, several of them were not very hopeful in some of the things that we were hoping to maintain. We did have sympathetic ears from all of them. But that's sometimes maybe as far as it's going to go. In general, the AMP and OMEA contingent, and I had said I think last week there was about 60 that were going to attend from Ohio. We met with 30 different congressional leaders, 30 different congressional offices while we were there. Obviously not all of us at 30 of them, but we all went to our own. And also the APPA rally, which is what the overall rally was, the American Public Power Association rally. What we're there hoping to do is provide an opportunity for public power to engage in the legislative process. The main topics covered by AMP and OMEA representatives on Capitol Hill were energy and environmental policy. Of course, we've been dealing with some of that for years now. Concerns about sequestration impacts on Build America bonds, and that is a huge one. You've heard Director Brettinger talking about that before, and the amount of money that we are losing because of our government a few years back encouraging municipalities and so forth to invest in these Build America bonds for major projects. Which AMP did for the environment or the hydro projects, all of them. So we're encouraged to jump in on this program, and then when we're in the middle of it, the government decides that they're not going to do it anymore and it changes the whole interest rate. And, really think about starting a football game and then having the rules change in the middle of the game. It's just not the way it should work. And so obviously no one's real happy about those kind of things. And the other thing that we were very concerned about is tax-exempt financing on municipal projects. A lot of the very big projects, not just utility projects, are many of them financed by tax-exempt financing, and that's another area that seems to be ratcheted down on. And there's a great concern about, will municipalities be able to do the projects they need to do without that kind of financing? And you sometimes shake your head and wonder what we're trying to do to ourselves, but that's kind of what we were being told while we were there. So just a little bit of a wrap up of what we found while we were in Washington. Thank you.
We'll move to our safety service director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not much to report tonight. The service department has been taking advantage of this unseasonably warm weather, continue to work on the parks and the ball fields, as well as working on the various potholes as the weather permits. Again, if you had run into a pothole, by all means, give us a call at the office, 684-5000, and we'll put it on the schedule to get filled. That's my report for tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Brediger is not able to make it this evening. We'll move to our finance director, Ms. Sternwald.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have several items under new business tonight, so I'll save my comments for that section of the agenda.
Okay. We'll move to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. For my report, it's more of a thank you than a report. A week ago, or almost a week ago, we had a power outage. That storm that the mayor was talking about also caused some problems here in Orrville. And we really need to thank the line crew from the power plant, Orrville Utilities, because they were out there in the middle of the night, in the dark, in the rain, and in the wind making repairs. And if you stop and think about it, that cold rain can be even worse than snow because it seeps in. And those guys were all out there and did a great job. They got the power back on. Not everybody in Orrville even knew the power had been out. Some of the businesses did, and there were some homes that did. But thanks to those guys, they did a fantastic job working in conditions that were a long way from favorable.
I can add one more thing to that. Along the lines of that storm, the problem and the reason we had the outage is some of you saw the email where Mr. Brettinger said this wouldn't have happened before the agreement that we had to go into with the EPA. When we were totally generating our own power, what happened this week wouldn't have been an issue, but the pole that broke was our transmission line from the one that brings power in if we're not generating enough. And so because of that, that's why we were in the bind we were in. And that's also why we're looking at a second transmission line, because now if we have a really, really serious issue with the one transmission line, we could be without power a long time. So that's being worked on, and that's going to be a project that will probably take into the next year before it's complete. But that's a real concern right now that we never had to worry about before. So just keep that in mind.
Thank you. We have no old business this evening. We'll move to new business. Mr. Morrison.
Resolution number 717. I move this resolution be placed on the first reading.
Second, Mr. Espiros.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Espiros?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shue?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Resolution number 717, a resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of the City of Orrville, State of Ohio, during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2017, and declaring an emergency.
Ms. Strimlin, now it is your turn.
Yes.
To speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. As Mr. Spiros mentioned, all of you should have received your final appropriation books. The legislation that's presented for council consideration, the total appropriations for 2017 are $63 million. $47 million is attributable to the enterprise funds, $7.5 million for the general fund, and $8.5 million for the tax-supported funds. There were some significant changes in the capital fund and also special revenue funds on the tax-supported side to support some additional projects we have planned for this year. When you look at the enterprise funds, you'll see changes in working capital transfers, again, changes in the utility reserve fund for modifications to anticipated projects for 2017. And you'll also see some significant changes in purchase power, coal, ash disposal, and natural gas. And those are reflective of our natural gas conversion that was just completed. This resolution does need to go to the full three readings. We will have a workshop on March 13th, immediately following the utility board meeting, where we'll review these changes and any other line item changes.
Anyone have any questions? Before we move to our next item, Mr. Larson, our clerk has something that she needs to read first.
Mr. President, the fiscal officer certificate for ordinance B-17 is on file.
Thank you. Now we can go ahead, Mr. Larson.
Ordinance B-17, I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corfin.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ordinance B-17, an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of $300,000 notes in anticipation of the issuance of bonds for the purpose of paying costs of improving the municipal water system by the acquisition and construction of improvements to that system, including, but not limited to, the development of a new well field, extending raw water mains to that well field, constructing a building and a booster station in connection therewith, and improving the site thereof, upgrading the control system at the water plant, increasing the capacity of and otherwise improving and upgrading existing raw water mains, installing an additional pumping capacity and water mains, upgrading existing water mains, and otherwise improving that system together with all necessary appurtenances thereto, and declaring an emergency.
Now, Ms. Strimlin, he said a whole lot. Can you explain it?
He did. I will attempt to do that. This note has been in front of council for 8 years now. This note was originally issued in 2008, again, to finance the utility projects that Mr. Larson mentioned. We do roll this over every year. We have until 2028 to complete payment of this. Otherwise, we will have to issue bonds. Last year, we issued the note for $400,000. We're paying down $100,000, so we'll be issuing the note for $300,000 this year. Obviously, with the 2028 deadline, we've been working aggressively on a repayment schedule, and we do hope to retire this debt next year. The ordinance before you provides that the notes will mature 1 year from the issuance date. All of the interest terms and parameters are defined in Section 3. It also gives the water utility the option to sell the note internally. We can also take it to private sale, or we can take the note to market, whichever will be more advantageous for the water utility. This legislation does not have to be passed this evening. We can roll over the note up to 90 days prior to its expiration, but the sooner council approves it, the sooner we can begin finalizing the details on that sale.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is a routine roll-up that we've done every year. Just to spare Mr. Larson from that, he did probably save him some. Maybe he wants to practice. But there is nothing surprising in this. We've seen it routinely. While it doesn't need to be passed, we can clear it easily.
I could have done it again and not tripped up this time. I agree.
It is
a fairly routine rollover. And that being said, if no one else has any comments, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of an ordinance on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
I move ordinance number B-17 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corfin.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Resolution number 8-17. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Resolution number 817, a resolution authorizing the Public Utilities Board of Control to enter into a contract and or contracts without bidding for the repair of turbine generator number 11 at the power plant and declaring an emergency.
Okay. Ms. Strimlin, do you have information on this?
I do. Thank you, Mr. President. Council should have received a memo from the utility director concerning this legislation. Just to give you a little bit of background, though, the electric utility has appropriated and they've been planning for this Turbine 11 overhaul. The unit has had lower than expected performance, and they've been experiencing some excessive vibration. The overhaul could not be completed, though, until the natural gas conversion was done. Again, they had always anticipated doing this prior to summer when we have the peak demands, but due to the contractor schedules, it is economically more feasible to start this work early this month. In addition to the savings we can recoup by starting this project early, it does also help with the scheduling of the relocation of the transmission lines. We do need to have all units in operation when we do that relocation, and we also need to coordinate that with AEP and the Jam Smucker Company. And by having this unit repaired prior to that, it'll give us some more flexibility in coordinating that. The unit was last inspected in 2014. We've worked on it several times since then, and the legislation before you allows the electric utility to secure a contract for $300,000 without bidding. And if anyone has any questions, I will try and answer those.
Yes, sir.
I will note that the utility board had a special meeting just last week to get this to us in an expedited way. So this isn't important. It's going, and the title does have to sort of fit in like a puzzle here.
Any other comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Parker.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Gasparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shue?
Yes.
I move resolution number 817 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Gasparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shue?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
That completes our business for this evening. We will now move on to our service department's annual report. John Scott is here for that.
He's very sick. He's been there. He came home from D.C. last week.
Really?
Yeah. And he didn't come back to work the rest of the week. And then he did today. And so he did find a special spot over there. So he has to
grow.
He literally
was
for a few days. And she never missed that much.
Yeah.
He's sick. He's really sick. So.
Maybe four.
No, I need a law degree.
I'm off the ball.
Back to school.
Oh, you got 8 hours on your choir. Nothing over on this side. Yeah. I can't do a law degree, so I can do these. Yeah.
Since you get yours out of a professional class, right?
I know what school you went to.
That's hurtful.
What school did you go to?
Well, my undergrad's in Kent State, and my master's is from Akron. So I don't know which one she's putting in.
I don't know either. I got my law degree back for you.
Yeah, so what do you think? Where did they come from?
Yeah,
she
was right.
Better than Matt's.
Who else? Do you need to give yours?
Jeff.
Jeff.
Bob.
Bob.
Bob's last one ever.
Mine's the last one.
Your last of those, of that group?
Those are the ones I've read.
I know. Me too.
They're all snoozers.
Me too. I agree. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
Wow.
I'm right there with you. I just want to tell you something. Oh, I know what it is. You shouldn't have brought your daughter to that self-defense class. That was so good.
Was it?
I was telling Steve.
You should push her
on both. In the first 5 minutes, they had three girls that were getting ready to go.
They need water. There.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have shown on both.
It was amazing.
Any men? Or was it just boys?
I don't know.
Where are you?
I'm running.
Good evening. My name is John Scott. I'm superintendent of the search department here at Orville. I'm giving the 2016 annual report for our department. Again, I would especially like to thank those that I work with, the guys, and Miss Amber that helps me to make sure things get done and done with an organization that is one of those that is appreciated. Some of the general information for the service department, if we start with our new storage building, you can see the cost of that. With that building, as of last year, we had nothing. None of the equipment or anything had to sit out through the winter time. It was the first year that I can remember it being in such a place with that building. It also was able to keep dirt dry whenever we have to use dirt or asphalt, or like in the pothole through the winter time. We were able to keep that free of snow. Not that we've had a whole lot of snow, but for that, it has worked well. Maintaining the grounds, you can see the cost there, almost $19,000. That is our weekly trash run, as well as the normal things that go on in our department. The weekly trash run is the departments in Oroville and all the downtown trash receptacles is part of that. The training and safety meetings we have, again, bi-weekly, basically on paydays. We have a training or safety meeting either on equipment, procedures, or something within the department. This slide shows some of the street maintenance and the cost we have with that. As we start with the sign work and what we have there, there are new rules and regulations that have to do with the size of our signs, the reflectivity that are on those signs so that they can be seen. That is a new regulation that's come in the last number of years. We are working on that aggressively to try and get to keep caught up and stay with that. Street light repairs, cost of doing those. We had a number of those that got damaged over last year, and getting those replaced and stood back up. Street repairs that we have there, those are the ones that we're trying to stay in front of the contractors with, and you are a part of it. Some of those repairs to minimize the cost that comes to the city through the contractors. Street sweeping, again, the picture in the upper left shows the new street sweeper. Everybody is willing to jump in there and do their part as far as maintaining the streets as far as that goes. Lower right one, picture, you can see some of the crack seal. Again, we put down 22,000 pounds of crack seal over the year, again, to maintain the streets, to make sure that we can get through the winter time without as many potholes as we can. The street repair you see here is what we call it, our Durapatcher. It is a band-aid, for lack of better words. It is a chip and seal process that we use to maintain some of the streets. Again, some of that cost that we use is also a product called SMP, and it's about $90 a ton. It's a cold patch that we can put in a pothole that will hold it when we cannot use this system here. This is the preferred system for doing our potholes. Some of the street resurfacing that we have, if you look at the concrete streets, as it says here, $1.1 million. Some of those streets, North Elm, North and South Crown Hill. East Oak Street had some repairs. Lynn Drive, for those of you that were up in there and around the circle. West Church and West Market. There's a number of the concrete streets that we've done. Market Street, you can see the overall cost of Market Street there on the lower left, as well as we did Fair Street. And Fair Street came in at a cost of about $82,000. This just shows a slide of some of the basin and tile work that we did. The cemetery storm line, I'll touch on that one with the cemetery department and their slides. But these show just some of the typical repairs that we do. The tile that was on the lower left, the pipe actually got hit by a contractor that was drilling for something and actually drilled through one of our tile and had to replace that. The basin up on Dogwood, just a typical basin, remove the concrete, repair the basin, put the street back in, curb, grass, make it look as well as we can, like we haven't even been there, is our goal. Fuel consumption is pretty much just the normal fuel consumption that we have pretty much every year. Nothing really has changed there. Just so you have somewhat of an idea, the unleaded came in at $1.74 a gallon on an average, and the diesel came in at $1.77 a gallon on average. The pumps that you see there are the new ones that you blessed us with, and that we have that. The other ones were actually redated back to 1984, the ones that were replaced. Vehicle equipment maintenance on the upper right. As you see, the OSD vehicle maintenance and equipment. Again, those are streets, parks, cemeteries. Goes from everything from a weed eater to the new street sweeper you saw, backhoes, all the salt equipment that we have. You can see the cost for those. The mechanics that you see there, both burn and vents, also work on the fire department and the police department vehicles. The cost there is broke down for you as well. Mosquito control. One of the issues that we're working with is mosquito control and the Zika virus that's around, working to make sure that we don't have that. There are cases that are reported in Northeast Ohio, but it is more in the populated areas. We really have none that is reported locally to us. We are trying to do our part to make sure it's not here. We both maintain an adult sighting and a larva sighting program with ours. I believe we have 5 or 6 individuals that are trained and have that license to apply that. The herbicide control, again, is both streets, parks, and cemeteries. We do weed control, basically all of them, by all means. Most of it is at the park and the cemetery. We do some of the downtown sidewalks to control the weeds there. Our tree work. I reported, I believe, last year that we have like 300 ash trees in the city. We do not maintain them. We do not try to save them. We are removing them as they become dangerous. A number of those are in our parks. We are aggressively dealing with those and some of the other areas in the public. As you can see, the cost that we have with that, we are contracting the ones out of there are too big for us to deal with, or in a power line. We do have those contracted out. Again, the plant, there's a number of them are trimmed. We actually have a number of crews that go out through the summertime, trim trees on the sidewalks to maintain the sidewalks that they're safe to be able to walk on. The seedlings are the ones that the city buys and purchases through and gives it to the grade school. Our compost area, the incoming compost, pretty much typical of what we have. Christmas trees, pretty much the same thing. It's about the normal numbers that we deal with. We do have compost for the residents. We still have some from the 2015 season, as well as our 2016 season now as well. Some of the compost, you are more than welcome to come and get it. We do not load that, but the residents are more than welcome to come and get it. The recycling, as you see there, And the used oil, we will take all the used oil you'd like to bring to us. We burn the used oil in Lacey Center to subsidize the gas heat, and we use it in our oil burner. Car batteries are recycled as well. The steel, the aluminum, cast iron, from a basin casting to something that's repaired on a vehicle, aluminum that comes through, all of that is recycled and put through, and you can see the tonnage there with that. Leaf pickup, the infamous leaf pickup season. 30 days is what it says there. It turned into not quite 8 weeks, started in the beginning of November and went to just past Christmas for us. 170 and a half loads, total cost $56,000, a little over. Again, this year went pretty quick for us weather-wise. Last year was a long season with the weather that hit us in that one. A number of things that were going on last season, it dragged out a little bit longer, cost a little bit more last season. We are grateful for the winter season that we had last year and what looks like the one that we're going to have this year as well. Salt County pretty much just proves that. The tonnage is down as far as that goes, just a little over 1,000 tons compared to about 1,200 tons in 2015. Parks. As the director touched on, we are aggressively working with parks. The upper picture that you see there is at Brenneman. We work with utilities, the distribution department, to alleviate what we call as a somewhat of a hazard with some of the lines that were there. We are redoing all of the park, or all of the field lights on Brenneman, by all means, working with a company that's contracted me in next week to come back in to put those back up, aim them so that they are shining on Brenneman instead of Miser Field. Is what we're working on to do with that. Again, changing electric, so all the switches, wiring, pretty much everything that we can do at Brenneman, and that's what we've got going with that one. Miser is another aggressive field we're working on, from drainage to dugouts to bleachers to ADA approaches, a number of things that we're working on. We actually rewired that. It was new electric as of last year with an incident that we had during a tournament. Playground maintenance, the bottom one, park maintenance that you see, there's a lot of time spent on park maintenance, mowing, again, weed eating, trash pickup, all of those things that go with having the park. The 4th of July, we appreciate the Orville Firefighters Association and their work. By all means, for the 4th of July, we do have some in that we help with, but most of that is theirs. You can see a cost for our side of that as well there. The pool, total cost being $91,000, a little over, thereabouts. Actually, there's probably close to $52,000 of that is recouped coming back in. Still a cost to have the pool. It's broke down there in such a way that you can see the things that go on. Last year, we started doing the concessions, having the snack shack and the park cafe. The city of Orville took those on and did those. Part of that upgrade that we have, we are now able to take debit card at the park, which makes things a whole lot quicker and easier and smoother to go for us as well. Part of the cost, again, a little easier to work with. Rails to Trails and the bike path was a new trail that we have through Orville. It's about a mile going through Orville. The Rails to Trails, the bridges that you see there, the pictures of that. The one in the bottom in the center is of the South Bridge. The other four are of the North Bridge, just pictures that we put in there. That cost, don't see it up there, cost was the grants and everything else, about $625,000 that we got to do all of those things. Ream Pavilion, we'd like to thank Ms. Jean Galt and all of her work with Ream. Taking care of the performances and the movie nights and things that we have there. maintenance that you see, we have a small electrical upgrade last year. The mulch work that we did, just general maintenance that we had after a year. Cemetery, again, the mowing. I don't even know how to try and explain to you mowing and weeding at the cemetery. It's just ongoing. It's always going on. We have a number of summer help and retirees that we employ through that season, and they basically just make it to one end and start all over again. Burials that you see there, we have 77 burials, 42 of them were non-residents, 35 were actually residents of that. Of those, 20 of them were ash burials. We set 35 foundations, as you can see the cost there for those as well. Just some pictures, general pictures of the cemetery. The cemetery waterline was another project that we have for the last 3 years. We have worked to replace between 1,200 and 1,500 foot of water line for each of those years. Last year was just like that. We hope to finish up all of the water line this year. There's still a little over 1,000 foot of water line left to install. We are really hoping that we can get that done. Last year we put in the yard hydrants you see there. We put in 5 new ones last year. I think we have another 5 to put in to finish the project up as well. The ash garden, the gazebo at the ash garden that you see there, the cost that we had some to finish up some dirt work, grass seed, stuff like that, a little bit of final work to do there on that gazebo, but not a whole lot. Most of that, again, was done in 2015. Questions? Yes, sir.
Number one, I just wanted to announce, since you're doing your report, it'd be a good time when we talk about cemetery. We should have matching watering cans for the whole cemetery. There was an anonymous donation made by a citizen in town that wanted to see that happen. So instead of the plastic milk jugs and so forth out there that we've had, those will be out there this year, providing those get purchased. Secondly, we talked about the concession stand at the park, which used to be an outside person that ran that. No one wanted that this year, and I would like to just thank Mr. Wheeler and Karen Flinner for stepping up and doing a ton of work to get that ready to go and actually made some money on it this year. So they did a very fine job with that. Otherwise, there would have been no concession stand for people out there at the park. And then lastly, I'd like you to mention, Pastor Newlands asked me a question about our railroad tracks downtown. Go ahead and mention why we're not fixing those, because they're not ours.
They are not ours. Most of the residents probably really don't know this, but we as a city, we are not allowed near those railroad. We've actually been told we're not allowed to step on the rails at one point. That is why we do not do anything with any of the railroad crossings. We have maintained a couple of those to try and help with the one track that it belongs to the railroad heritage or used to. We have done a couple of holes on there to help with that maintenance. But as far as the main tracks going through town, the railroad really does not want us to touch them.
They don't seem to want to touch them either. That's the problem.
We have an ongoing agreement with them.
Yeah.
I believe it would be easier to put. Mr. Shue.
Thanks, John. How come the picture of a statue in my book doesn't have a hand on top of it like it sure does up there?
Well, it's kind of if. Actually, if you look at it, it's actually
moving.
It was just kind of one of those. We couldn't get that to do that in your books. We wanted to be
that. That's actually going to be finished this spring, with any luck.
I'm shocked.
No, your distinction.
That is pretty much.
Back to the cemetery and the building grounds maintenance. Why was there such a big jump in 2016 over 2015 and 2014?
A number of those were electrical issues that we had at the maintenance building itself. We actually had a furnace that we had to go down. The issue that we have at the cemetery, when we put the tent up and it gets wet, it needs to dry. The furnace actually had died, for lack of better words, was one of that. We also in the process of making sure all the lighting is more of an energy LED lighting. So the lightings have changed as well. Part of that cost has to do with that storm line that we put in. We put in 8 basins for that. Maintenance that goes back with asphalt, grass, dirt, topsoil, and all that that goes back with those. Those are the costs that
John,
you do with that.
Those figures include labor, correct?
They do.
So that's just for folks to know that the labor, our staff, they show those in those numbers just so they accurately reflect the true cost, even though obviously our laborers are paid regardless of where they're at during normal work hours.
We show that cost for us.
Now, I just wasn't sure why the big jump.
Yes. The furnace was part of it. The lighting, again, was part of it. The step-in basins. And the number of things that we're doing with that, we had to cross driveways with water line, and putting those back in was a number of the costs that we had to do with that. When we put the water line in, we do it in such a way that we can try and not cross any more driveways than we have to for the general purposes of doing that. But at some point, to get back to the beginning where we can make it a loop, now we're having to start at driveways. Again, just a part of that cost and a total cost.
Mr. Harry.
Your tree, I mean, it's for Tree City again, which I love that. What is the criteria for becoming a Tree City?
You're asking the wrong individual, sir. There's training involved. By all means, we do send, we actually have 3 arborists now that we are working with that have been certified within the city. One of those is soon to be retiring. That's why we've required a 3rd one to replace him. And the training that goes on with that, there is...
we have to have State Tree Commission.
A commitment to us, the budgeting for tree purchase and trimming and all those kind of things.
Maintenance, proof that we are maintaining. Again, I can't tell you all of that criteria. There is quite the criteria to put us back on to that list if we have made for a number of years. Again, if you look through the Orville, some of the areas have some nice big older trees. We take one now, we try and plant 2. It was actually a process that we were working at one time. With the ash trees and everything that's going on with that, that will probably somewhat limit us to keep up with that, but that was a goal at one point.
With a lot of the new concrete streets, just as far as anticipation, looking at the cracks, you know, I would imagine those are going to be needing sealed at some point. You know, how long does that typically last until that work would need to be done on the street? And what criteria is used to determine whether it needs sealed?
Okay. They are sealed by the contractor when they are put in. All the new concrete streets are sealed by that contractor that's put in. Depending on the traffic that has it, the traffic that would be on West Church Street, like going up over the hill, as opposed to Hostel or an Elm, the traffic flow on that will change. So again, with that, that will change in how long that crack seal stays in, only because of that. There is a system set up that ODOT has, and there's a number of our department that are trained on it. It's called PCR, pavement conditioning rating, and there's actually a system set up where we go around yearly, 2 of us go around yearly, 2 of the employees, and grade every street in Orville. And depending on how they come back at a rating is how Director Wheeler and I work to make sure that those streets are addressed.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Back up again, Andrew. Thank you, Mr. Scott. So it's nice to know what goes on behind the scenes. That does end the regular part of our meeting this evening. Does anyone have anything for the good of the order tonight? Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move adjourned, sir.
Thank you.
Second,
Mr. Asparis.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shue?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting. We're now adjourned.
Tim, you saw all that stuff with you on Thursday? On Friday.
I'm not kidding. It was hard.
It was ridiculous.
Then it was only about the best. I got 83.
Tony had to study.
I did mine online because I couldn't. It would have been 4 days of class.
I did 4 days of class.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could. I don't know that I would have passed if I did. It was even tougher.